Here this afternoon, and again, we're using our original theme slide for the year as a backdrop initially, just to let you know, because the title of tonight's message is When They Saul Revisited. Again, you say, well, preacher, hang on a second. Here we are 6 months into the new year. You preached this on the opening Sunday of the new year, as it said our theme. It was our vision Sunday as to what we were establishing. And I agree, yes, that's what we did. And so we want to treat today as a little bit of a six-month renewal, a checkup, if you will, as where you are of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, of where your eyes are focused. You're saying, preacher, is it the same message? Not at all. Not at all. So if you will today, guys, let's John chapter 20. You don't need to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God, as you've already done that in our reading today. John chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And when they had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of your word. Ask of you now, please be with us during this message today, Lord. Open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, dear God. Give me clarity of thought. Give me clarity of words, I please beg you here this evening, that, Lord, you would make your message known unto the people that are listening, unto your people tonight. Lord, bless them, I pray, dear God, in a mighty and wonderful way. I ask of you tonight to make a difference in the lives of people, make a difference in the lives of their eternity, make a difference in their lives currently. Father, touch them, Lord. Bless them wonderfully. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. Just to quickly reiterate the theme of our year in 2020 and what John 2020, what that vision for John 2020 truly is. Remember, in John chapter 20, we find that so many people will focus on the disciples when they had saw Jesus Christ. They focus on that point, and that is a good point. So initially we find and we know that our theme for the year, as you see in the banners and the backdrops and all the things that have taken place, and when they saw, it is a theme to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Yes, vision 2020. 2020 is considered perfect vision. And so you want to perfectly see Jesus Christ for who and what he is. And so that is it. You notice that we have the glasses that are placed onto the banners there. And so there's a clear view through those spectacles, if you will, a clear vision of what the world is and what the world needs. And the world needs to see Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The churches need to see Jesus Christ. The churches need to keep their eyes on Jesus Christ. But here's the thing about it. So often, guys, we focus on the verse of the latter part of John 20:20, and that's a good thing. Don't take that wrong. It says, "And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." And we look at that and we say, they were glad, and I want to be glad. They had joy, and I want to have joy. They were happy, and I want to have happiness. So I want to see Jesus Christ. But what we need to remember, guys, that the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus Christ. But just prior to this event, as we spoke on the first Sunday of this year, there was a tragedy. There was a tragedy. The Bible says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified." Sorry. "And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." Yes, they were glad when they saw the Lord, and I don't blame them, but just before they were glad, guys, they were sad. Just before they were glad, there was a tragedy. Before they were the tragedy, there was troubles. There were troubles. Have the Bible says in Psalm 31:9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." So before this moment of John 20:20, before this exhilaration, before this gladness, before this joy, before this happiness, there were troubles, my friend. There was a tragedy that occurred. Yes, at the tomb that morning when Jesus Christ arose, there was a turn. We find that Mary had turned. There was a testimony, and bless God for the truth. It all played out in the very first Sunday on our Vision Sunday, our Vision 2020 Sunday. It all played out before us. We saw it. We see it. We're like, praise God, this is our theme. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And therefore, if our eyes are on the Lord, if we're looking on the Lord, then we're going to be glad in our days. We're going to be happy. We're going to have joy. But I would imagine, as everyone, more than likely, there was more Vision 2020 and 2020 Vision themes throughout the world this year. You're only going to get one of them, amen. It only happens one time, and I guarantee you there is a load, if not, I mean, thousands of churches across our world today that John 2020 is their year theme, is their theme for this year. And I would imagine that when everyone began to set the themes of their churches and it had that 2020 vision, and their expectations were either a blowout year of revival or maybe even a sense of normalcy. I wonder about that, that sometimes men will come together and they'll say, well, this is going to be the theme for the year, but it's going to be just like every other year. This is going to be our theme for the year, but we're just going to continue on. So some people, I would imagine, hey, 2020's got to be the year revival's going to break out. Some people, I imagine, hey, 2020 has got to be the year just like it was last year, but we're going to set this theme because it's what sounds right. I just believe, and I wonder, as we continued on, is that the way people viewed it? It's just another year, different number, another 12 months. And then all that changed in March. Bible studies, Bible services, fellowship time turned into Zoom calls. Church worship turned into Facebook and YouTube live services. In some areas, drive-in church was allowed and even encouraged, while others were threatened and fined if they had drive-in services somewhere. Many would sit back and say, man, this was supposed to be the year. This was the year that we had perfect vision. This is the year that we had our eyes on Christ. The year when people would turn to the Lord and testify of His great name and of His word. And yet between a global pandemic, fires and crime and life, loss of life and earthquakes, I ask you now, how's your vision? I ask you that tonight. How is your vision now? You still got that 2020 vision? You still have that looking at the Lord? And do you still have that gladness, that joy? Do you still have that exhilaration? 11th week of doing live services online? Well, I'll tell you the truth, my friend. It shouldn't have been any different at all. As a matter of fact, I mean, maybe your eyes should be more on Jesus Christ now than ever before. But it shouldn't have been different. 2020 should not have been different with your eyes on Christ than 2019 was, or 2018, 17, and all the way. It should have been on Him. You see, my friend, the troubles and the tragedies that have occurred in our days today is proof, my friend, as to whether or not you really believe if your eyes are on Christ, gladness will be in your heart. The prophet Isaiah said, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I want you to remember that verse today. We're going to be visiting it quite a few times. Beloved, the disciples in John 20, these disciples were glad when they saw Jesus because they had just come out of a tragedy. They were glad when they saw Jesus Christ because of the troubles they had just experienced. They were glad because their heart was comforted by His presence, my friend. Beloved, hear this and hear it clearly tonight. They were glad because they were now seeing Him in whom they had not seen for 3 days gone by. Herein is where many of us have fallen prey to as 2020 has roared through our lives. Has roared through our days. As 2020 began to trample down on our spirits and on our mind and our emotions and our happiness and our peace and all, this is where we have fallen. Just like the disciples this day, they hadn't seen Jesus in 3 days. But boy, they were glad when they saw Him. And so when 2020 has rolled on, my question is, have we kept our eyes on Christ? Have we kept, maybe you're barely staying above water. Maybe you're just barely staying above flow. But if you've got those eyes above that water line, you're looking, are you looking at Jesus Christ? Or are you focusing on that which is around you, being distracted by all this nonsense in the world? Let me ask you this question again, beloved. How's your vision today? How's your vision tonight, my friend? What or who are you focused on right this present moment? That's what's going to determine the joy, the gladness, the peace that is in your heart. That's what's going to determine if you truly bought into the 2020 vision of this year. Not what happens around you, but where your focus is. Can I ask you this question here first tonight? Are your eyes fixed on the storm? Are your eyes fixed on the storm this evening? You know, my friend, by the end of February, we here in the United Kingdom were approaching our third named storm. Jorge blew through in our land and with winds in excess of 70 miles an hour. It was a weekly, I remember, because every weekend it seemed like a new named storm was popping in. And trees were being blown all over the places and fences being blown down. And it just kept happening and happening and happening. I remember people saying, man, I've never seen anything like this before. Then again, all the mid-tribbers and post-tribbers, they crawled out of their holes and their bunkers, man, with their whiteboard and their grease markers in hand, and here we go. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16 with me real quick, please. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to have you turn just a little bit tonight. Not going to apologize for that. We need to turn every now and then, amen? So are your eyes fixed on the storm this evening, my friend? Are your eyes fixed on the storm? And by the way, guys, I don't mean to be rude. I love every one of you if you're tuning in. But if you're a post-tribber or a mid-tribber and, you know, I just offended you with that statement, don't message me. I'm not interested. Amen. I'm not going to buy what you're selling. I believe the Word of God for how it's written. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, then you're in a better place than they are, guys. Amen. Don't take that wrong. I mean, listen. Guys, listen. Our skin's got to get a little thicker. Amen. It's got to get a little thicker. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 1, I want you to listen very carefully here. Listen very carefully, because people's eyes got focused on the storms, and February rolled around in 2020, and all these named storms coming out, and here we go with all the prophecy and the date setting and all this other stuff. Now look at Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left them and departed. All right, so here's the kicker, guys. This is what I want you to understand. I want to give you a verse. It's going to be on your screen in relation to Matthew 16. Relation to you keeping your eyes on the storm and not on the Savior. In relation to you keeping your eyes on all the storms that happen in our life. Keeping your eyes on the storm at hand, figuratively speaking or literally speaking, and then wanting to find this sign of the times in which we live. Luke chapter 11 in verse 29, the Bible says, when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there should be no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. So we got Matthew's recording of the same comment that Jesus Christ made. We got Luke the physician recording the same Jesus Christ made on this concerning this particular sign. But do you know what all that means, my friend? It means, when we put this in relation to John 20:20, it means that the disciples were glad, G-L-A-D, glad, when they saw Jesus, because this prophecy that he's speaking of is fulfilled. In Matthew 12, verse 40, the Bible says, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Done and dusted, and that's it, amen. So here you go, guys. These guys are looking for a sign. They're begging for a sign. Jesus Christ says, I'm not giving you a sign. You're an evil generation. It's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. There's only one sign that you're getting, the sign of the prophet Jonah. And that sign was him being in the whale's belly 3 days, 3 nights, was a sign that it was fulfilled when Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights, and he resurrected. That's why the disciples were glad. Yes, there was a tragedy. Yes, there were troubles. There was a turn. There was a testimony. There was truth. All of those things are still present, but the storms at hand were relieved because they saw Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of the only sign that was given unto the world. So you can put your grease boards up. You can put your markers away. We ain't in the tribulation. I don't care if that moon turns red blood tonight. We're not in the tribulation period because the church is still here. Say amen to that. Turn over your Bibles to Matthew 14 with me. Where is your vision tonight, my friend? Is it on the storms that we're living in? Where is your vision? Is it on the storms that we have going on in our world today? Matthew chapter 14. Look down there in verse 25. Matthew 14, verse 25. Now notice this with me. And I know this illustration is used time and time again. We're going to read it. Matthew 14, 25 says, "And when the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw," watch this, "when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He rebuked him for having little faith. Yes, beloved, I know that we've heard this verse time and time again. I know that it's been belabored about the storms of life and the circumstances and the situation we live in, but it is a rightly truth. It needs to be said. It needs to be heard of here tonight. Peter walked on water. Peter defied every law of physics known and unknown to man until he placed his vision upon the storms that were around him." Notice back again in the verse 14. The key is in verse 26. The disciples saw him walking on the sea. Okay? They saw him. Their eyes were affected. Their heart was affected by what they saw and who they saw. When they realized it was Christ, there was a bit of comfort. But Peter said, "Prove it to me if it's you." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out on the water. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. He defied the laws of physics. He defied the laws of gravity. And he walked and walked and walked and walked and walked. And then all of a sudden, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, he didn't literally see the wind. He saw what the wind was doing in lifting up the waves and causing the storms. Until then, my friend, when he got his eyes off Jesus Christ, and he placed them on the storms that were around them, whether it was the winds of February, whether it was the COVID of March, or whether it was whatever's going on today, he lost the plot and he began to sink. So my question to you tonight is this, and this is how simple this goes. Have you lost the plot for 2020? Have you lost the fact of when they saw? Have you forgot about what happened with them when they saw Jesus Christ for who and what he is? Have you lost that plot today? Have you viewed the storm so long in your life, 6 months, that you're caught up in predicting more than preaching? Have you allowed the boisterous winds to beat upon your faith where it's about to falter? That's the question. That's a simple question tonight. Have you allowed the storms of this life to rob you of the joy that God wants you to have through the faith that he's given you? Remember, thou wilt keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Remember that. Perfect peace. Storms, perfect peace. 70 plus mile an hour winds, perfect peace. Flames of fire, perfect peace. Beloved, that's what we saw. We've seen the storms of 2020. They were blowing in every single week. And then, like I said, everybody starts coming out of the woodwork, predicting this and predicting that, but not preaching the cross of Christ. Everybody's, I ain't never seen anything like this before. And they start getting afraid. Quit looking at it. Quit looking at the storms. My wife, bless her heart, she's scared to death. We lived in Tennessee. She's scared to death of tornadoes. And I don't blame you guys. We lived in a place where tornadoes came through all the time. I was in the middle of the tornado in 1998 when the tornado came through downtown Nashville. I was right slap in the middle of that thing. And it's not fun, but it was quick. But I always slept. I sleep the best in the middle of storms. I don't know why. Bless her heart, she'll wake up and she'd have the TV on. I remember nothing but a blue screen. And I remember telling her, I said, "Babe, listen, here's the deal. If a tornado comes through and it hits us here in the middle of our sleep," she goes, "Yeah, but we need to go down to the basement." I said, "Here's the deal. I would rather take my chances and get sleep tonight. And that tornado will come through. And if it hits our house and it kills me, then fine, okay? Because if it's a tornado big enough to kill us here where we are, then being down in the basement ain't going to help anything. But, you know, just to comfort her, we go down to the basement." Listen, I mean, that's nothing negative about my wife. That's just, you know, I'm afraid of spiders. Now, here's the deal. If Hurricane Spider came through, I'm going to crawl somewhere where ain't spiders, all right? So there we are. We're equal. But back to the seriousness of the issue. Have you allowed the storms of 2020, literal or figurative, either one, have you allowed them to take your eyes off Jesus Christ? How's your vision? Let me ask you this. What about sickness, guys? Go from the storms to the sickness. So we had the storms in January and February this year, and after the storms came the pandemic. I didn't expect it, neither did you. The last thing we were all expected that we would no longer be meeting in the church house together. There's not one of us on this planet today who ever thought that we would be doing 11 weeks of services online. We never thought that. There's no mention of the churches reopening. I've searched every website that I can find. There's just a little bit of hint. Somebody's predicting after July 4th. I don't know. But I do know this to be a fact. When we turned this new year to 2020 back in January, not one of us here ever expected that we wouldn't be in this house together. Do you know the Bible, the word sick occurs in the Bible 87 times. Sickness occurs another 20 times. Diseases occurs 13 times. And infirmities another 12. It's written all over the pages of the Word of God. Luke chapter 5 verse 15 says, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Beloved, I wish every illness on this planet today would be healed, would be eradicated right this very moment. And even though there aren't, we mustn't allow our eyes to be inundated by the sickness around this world. Why? Remember, I told you you're going to see it. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." So my question is, again, how's your vision tonight? Is your vision on the storms of this world today? Are your visions on the sickness of this world? Have you taken your eyes off Jesus and placed it on the sickness? Beloved, 2020, went from storms. It went from storms to sickness to struggles. From fires to killings to earthquakes to riots to crimes. The struggle is real and it is vicious. And even though we cannot control the earthquakes and most of the fires, unless you're starting fires, stop doing that, please. Our actions toward one another, you and I can control. Guys, if you have hate toward another person, for whatever reason it is, you're wrong. Point blank. As a matter of fact, we're told in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Yep, that's what it said, and it's that simple. If you hate your brother today, the Bible says that you're a murderer. You're a killer. The Bible has never been hard to understand. It's just hard to believe many a times. But don't worry about what it means. Just worry about and focus on what it says. I'll quickly revisit the point that I made in the introduction this morning under this issue of struggles right now. Again, we went from storms in 2020, we went to storms, to sickness, and then into struggles. But life is precious, my friend. Every life from conception to the corruption in the grave. Every soul is equal in the eyes of God, for Christianity is the only thing that is ever proven. Of a truth, he says. Of a truth, he says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. As a matter of fact, Christianity, the church, and I'm talking about biblical, Bible Christianity, not institutionalized Christianity, I'm talking about Bible truth, Bible fact, is the only place where truth and equality ever exist in this world, and it's the only place it ever will. Christianity is the only entity to establish, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us." That's my God today, man. That's my Savior. And on top of all of that, in the eyes of Jesus Christ, every soul is special. Every soul is significant. Every soul has worth. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, "By the which we will we are saved." I'm sorry, we "by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And beloved, that's the solution. The solution to our struggles in this world today and the struggles at hand is Jesus Christ, hands down. Acts 17:26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Beloved, we have to look at people as souls. famous preacher by the name of T. DeWitt Talmage. Famous preacher, late 19th century and into the 20th century, had a keen ability to look at every single individual as an eternal soul that's going to dwell somewhere after this life on this earth is gone. And that's what we have to develop in our life. We got to look at people as souls, nothing less, nothing more. Every soul will live in eternity somewhere. The only way to maintain this outlook, guys, on others. Well, remember, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Same is true, guys. The same stays around. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because that's the only way to get the vision off the struggles. That's the only way to get the vision off the sickness. That's the only way to get your vision off the storms is to get your mind stayed on Jesus Christ. So I say this in closing tonight. Yes, this year was not what we expected, but should not change your perspective on who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. My friend, if you want success in your Christian life today, you're going to have to take your eyes off the storms. You're going to have to take your eyes off the sickness. You're going to have to take your eyes off the struggle, and you're going to have to keep them on the Savior. The Bible says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's that simple tonight. It is that simple. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that it's not without difficulty. One thing that I have found in my life, things that are simple are often not easy, but they are worth it. So, beloved, when they saw the Lord, they were glad. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were glad. So I'm going to ask you lastly tonight, then I'm done. How's your vision now, 6 months into 2020? How's your vision tonight? Are you focused on the storms of life? Are you focused on the sickness of life? That doesn't mean we don't prepare for either. Are you focused on them? Are you focused? Are you inundated? Are you focused and absorbed by the struggles in the world? Well, then that's going to obscure your vision for who and what the Lord wants you to be. For your eyes need to be upon the Savior. The solution to the storms, the solution to the sickness, the solution, my friend, to the struggles is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Always has been, and it always will be. You get your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, you'll get yourself right. You get your eyes focused on the Lord, you'll start making the changes in your life that you need to better serve Him in this world, to esteem others better than yourself, to lift up your brother and love your brother. Hey, listen, you know, just because you may disagree with someone, and as a matter of fact, if you don't agree with anything somebody else says, you can still be nice. You can still be kind. You can still love them. Love is a choice that we make, guys. Love is a choice that we make, how we treat one another, hands down. And today, I'm asking you to reevaluate your vision. Reevaluate what and who you're looking at and why. And get them off the struggles and get them off the sickness. Get them off the storms and get them on the Savior this evening. Will you bow your head? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for who and what you are. Dear God, I ask of you tonight to please, Lord, make a mighty movement upon those that will hear this message. And Father, I pray that if people are convicted, let them be convicted and make the changes in their own personal life that needs to be made, Father. Lord, I pray that revival fires will fall into our land. I pray, dear God, that whenever or however we come out of this lockdown and the things that are going on, that we would maintain a clear vision of who and what Jesus Christ is, that we would look to Him and support the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life today to make a difference in the world that You've given us. Lord, living in the day that we live in, it's a gift. Every day is a gift. Every life is a gift. Every ounce of air that we breathe is a gift. And Lord, I thank you for it. And let us honor it, Lord. Let us honor you by taking advantage of all that you've done for us, for who and what you are. And we'll give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. I hope and pray that the preaching and teaching of the Word of God was a blessing to your heart tonight.